Upgrading your bathroom? The Home Depot can help you upgrade that upgrade at the Winter Kitchen and Bath event. Right now, add the finishing touch with an exclusive Kohler Katoon faucet for just $89. It's available in a stylish brushed nickel finish, and you'll only find it at the Home Depot, Kohler's number one retailer. So upgrade your bathroom and let the savings flow. The Winter Kitchen and Bath event at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through March 24th while supplies last.
Blog Talk Radio.
On tonight's episode of Confession Session,
scientists have discovered a breakthrough for HIV, which is needed with a recent jump among teenagers that have contracted the virus. Did you forget what you believe in when money starts to talk? Some employees at Juul think so. And Cardi B money-making video comes out, and all the ass shaking, nipple showing, and coochie popping has people talking. What's good, y'all? This your host, Angel Vondrina.
And I'm your host, John Othello, and you are listening to the one and the only Confession Session.
Hey, 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 hey. What's going on, Pete? How y'all doing? What you going through? What you feeling? How you doing? What's going on, John? How was
Not
your party?
Much. Oh my gosh, it was amazing. So if you all don't know, I'm officially engaged. I have been since October, but me and my fiance, we threw our annual holiday party, and then we went ahead and decided for it to be our engagement party as well. And it was incredible. It was a lot of people, like 60 people, but
oh, my God.
Good night. Our party just never, no drama. It's never, like, any kind of bad vibes. Everyone looked amazing. Scenery is beautiful. It's always good to catch up because it's, like, the one time, because everyone's so busy, you know, this is, like, the one time a year where people plan to be like, okay, I'm definitely going to come and make sure you see all of your, my old friends, since, you know, I've been living here, and new ones as well, but, no, I had a great time. I did a little bit too much of a time.
It was wonderful.
Thank you. Wait, did you see any pictures and stuff?
Hello. Yes.
I've seen two pictures. Oh.
it looked popping. I'm like, dang, this day had a big ass face. I mean, everything looked extra cracky. Everybody was dressed up, looking all good and fly. I was like, yes, go, couples. I mean, my goodness. Y'all sure know how to show the hell out. I'm trying to let you know.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's what they say. We know how to throw a party. But I definitely can't wait for, you know, y'all to experience one of our, you know, dramatic parties.
Yes.
Hopefully next year you can make it to the holiday party.
Yes.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. Unfortunately, I have to work tomorrow because, you know, when the markets are open, the banks are open. So I do have to go to work, and I'm working 10-hour shifts all week. So that's not going to be fun, but it's all good because I do love my job. So it's all good. Today I've just been cooking all day for Christmas because Christmas is in just 2 days. But tomorrow we're celebrating the holiday at my mom's house because I'm off on the 25th and I have to work on the 26th. So I want to make sure that I have the 25th to actually just be home with my family, open up presents, relax, enjoy ourselves, and then, you know, prep myself, get ready for the day on Tuesday. Wednesday, excuse me. And so other than that, I just cooked. I cooked a whole chicken, and my son, my six-year-old son, he was such a help. Oh, my God, he helped so much. I cooked the whole chicken, made some ribs. I made two pans of macaroni and cheese, one from my house, one from my mom's house. Same with the spaghetti, one from my house, one from my mom's house. A dressing. And did I make anything? Oh, and a ham. And I think that's pretty much it. You know, I just finished cooking all of that stuff. Giovanni, he has the first plate. He's down there eating it now. And, of course, I had to do a little tasty taste. It was good. So, yeah, everything is smooth. It tastes delicious, and I'm looking forward to digging into that Christmas food this evening. So other than that, everything has been going pretty damn good.
Oh, wow. So y'all celebrating Christmas today? or as far as like dinner.
Well, we're eating the Christmas food today. We're eating the Christmas food today. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, we're gonna eat because it's like we got all this damn food. Like, ain't nobody gonna wait until tomorrow and then like the next day. Like, no, especially because I cooked it all today because we're celebrating it tomorrow at my mom's house. So we just eat Christmas food for the next 2 days. And then that's it, you know what I'm saying? Food will be gone, and we can do what we normally do. So we won't have to, you know, waste anything and stuff like that. That's why I cook the chicken too and not a turkey. So you won't waste anything, you know. I don't like being wasteful, especially when you're sitting up there, you're spending $300 on fucking groceries. So, but yeah, other than that, that's all, folks. So I guess we'll go ahead and get the show started. But before we get started, don't forget to check us out on Instagram, YouTube, SoundCloud, Anchor, and of course this podcast or blog talk. Send us those confessions at confessions2@gmail.com. And you bet not forget to like, comment, rate, and subscribe. Let us know what topics you like to hear and tag us in that goddamn drama. Jen, would you like to go ahead and hit them with that confession question of the day after the sparkle?
Yes. Confession question. What is the craziest thing you've ever done to attract a crush? And when's the last time you were flat out rejected? How did you handle it? What's the craziest thing you've ever done to attract a crush, flat out rejected, and how did you handle it? So let's get into those confessionals, Ms. Angel Vondrina.
All right, y'all. Okay, guys. So according to DailyMail.com, is a cure for AIDS within reach? Scientists succeed in destroying the HIV-infected cells in a major breakthrough. Scientists announce a potential breakthrough in the fight against HIV and AIDS. Researchers at Paris Institut Pasteur found a way to destroy infected cells. Currently, HIV is treated with an antiviral drug which cannot remove the virus. But researchers claim to have found a way to eliminate the affected reservoir cells. Now, researchers at Paris Institut Pasteur claim they have successfully destroyed cells infected with the virus, which is typically treated with an antiviral drug. The drugs are unable to remove the virus from the body, but medical journal Cell Metabolism yesterday published findings which announced the scientists have found a way to eliminate the infected reservoir cells, which is pretty damn cool. Researchers at this institute also claimed that the destroyed cells infected with the virus, which is typically treated. Oh, gosh, I feel like I'm just repeating the same shit all over and all over again. But anyways, the drugs are unable to remove the virus from the body, but medical journal Cell Metabolism yesterday published that the findings, which announced that, you know, they had that way to eliminate it. And the next steps in the research will be assessing the potential of the metabolic inhibitors in vivo, which is tested on a living organism. In theory, if the viral load is low enough, destroying the cell in HIV, it hides in and draws that energy from, could keep it from spreading. Now, this also, like I said, will keep it from spreading within the entire body, and perhaps it could eradicate it altogether, which is the hope. This study was found by the Institut Pasteur, or the American Foundation for AIDS Research and the SID Action. So that's pretty much what recently just came. I think this article came out today. So, Jim, what do you feel about this, especially with the talk and the conversations that we recently had with the, you know, the spike in teenagers all having, you know, been affected with HIV, and now that they've come out and they may have something that can cure something that, you know, we thought was not curable, period.
Yeah. No, I think it's awesome. You know, that is definitely something, you know, being a gay man has always, you know, been in the back of my mind and something that, you know, is terrifying for me. Luckily, you know, I was always smart because of me having good parents that spoke to me about, you know, STDs and HIV, you know, before I started having sex. So I didn't really mess around with unprotected sex until, you know, I was my fiance and we are both in a very committed relationship and, you know, would never play with ourselves like that either. So that's kind of why I trust him. But, you know, as far as like the free going, you know, normal, you know, 20 something, you know, out here in this world that's gay, that's something that, yeah, that, it's terrifying, something that's you're going to think about all the time, you know, if you are, you know, promiscuous and sexually active.
Yeah.
So I think that it's, you know, awesome. I hope that this does actually lead to a cure in the near future. And yeah, well, I mean, what did you think?
I thought it was absolutely amazing. Just seeing this article and reading about it. And as Jim mentioned this, you know, just, you know, a lot of, you know, individuals who may be, you know, homosexual, how they feel. But I think it's for everybody, you know, like Jim also mentioned, promiscuous people. Even my husband told me, and me and my husband, we've been together forever. But he tells me that one of the things that scares him in life is getting tested. Now, he knows that I'm clean. I would never sleep around with nobody else because I don't play that shit because I don't want to contract anything like that. But anytime he take an HIV and AIDS test or whatever like that, that's one of the things that make him nervous, just because now something has been put in his head, like, okay, I have to take this test. Even though he knows that he's clean, it's still something that bothers him. And I'm sure a lot of other people are like that too. You know, so to have something that is a possible cure, especially among so many people who are contracting this virus, and, you know, there's nothing that they even did personally. They just messed around with the wrong individual. You know, this is something amazing. Now, if they go ahead and do this and they can get these cells eradicated altogether, that would be awesome. You know, people, they can actually, it would be like another STD, you know, which is amazing. Now, the next thing is herpes. Can we work on that? You know, because there are a lot of people who I personally know that has that disease, you know, or have that STD. And, you know, it wasn't by choice, you know. And, I mean, obviously nothing is ever really by choice. But it's like, you know, they slept around with somebody they cared about and they loved. And this is the type of shit that happened. You know, so I'm really hoping that, you know, that with the donations that they're getting, that they are still able to find more cures and able to eliminate all of these STDs that are coming people ways, or these viruses that are coming people ways, so, you know, it won't be as detrimental to their life. And especially with HIV and AIDS, like, that shit can kill you. So, you know, this is very important, very serious. And also with cancer too, let's hope that they really get some type of material and things together so they can cure these things that, you know, people, they really don't have a choice in getting. But yeah, other than that, Jen, I think I'm gonna call it a night, and I'll talk to you later. No, I'm just kidding. let's move on to the next topic, guys.
All right, y'all. This is according to WRAL.com in Rosemont, Illinois. The mother of a woman found in a dead hotel freezer in Rosemont has filed a lawsuit asking for $50 million in damages. Kanika Jenkins disappeared in September 2017 while attending a party at the Crown Plaza Hotel. Surveillance video showed her wandering alone through a kitchen area and towards the freezer. Her body was found the next day. Relatives and friends questioned whether she was the victim of foul play, but police said her death from hypothermia was an act. The lawsuit claims the defendants were negligent because they didn't secure the walk-in freezer or conduct a proper search when Jenkins went missing. A hotel spokesperson wasn't immediately available to comment. So what do you think? Do you think that Kanika Jenkins should win this lawsuit?
Do I think that her mom should? I think that her mom is hurting right now, obviously, as any mother would. It's crazy because I remember talking to you all about this story, and I can't believe that it was a year ago already. But I think that it's sad, and I think that she could potentially win a lawsuit, especially because, as she said, you know, why wasn't the freezer secured, you know? But, I mean, a lot of hotels, they may not have a policy where that's put into place. So even if her mom don't win, then I'm sure that there's going to be new procedures and policies put into place as to, you know, what has to happen as far as, like, just different things go. You know, what needs to be locked, what needs to be done. Just like I said, different procedures and policies that are going to be put in place that people, they have to follow if they don't want to get sued. But like I said, yeah, it's a possibility that she could win. And we are obviously going to keep you guys updated on this case. But yeah, it's interesting to know. And I wonder though, what took so long? I wonder if somebody, they reach out to her like, you know, you have a lawsuit here and this is the reason why, and I want to represent you, you know, or if she just was like, you know what, I'm done with this shit. I had enough. I'm still grieving over my baby. We need to get some money for this, you know, or like, you know, if she was just like, I just don't know. I'm interested in knowing what the motivation behind it was after all of this time. Or maybe had it been already brewing and we just are now finding out about it because it's a beneficial. Not beneficial, but because it is now official. So, yeah. Shem, what do you think about it? Do you think that her mom could win the lawsuit?
I definitely think she can. I think that she could. I can't see, you know, the hotel being negligent in, like they said, in the state. Because all they had to do was just look throughout and actually look in the freezer and see the little girl. Once they found out that, you know, she was no longer, you know, I mean, nobody was able to get a hold of her at all. It sucks because it's not the hotel's fault. You know, she was constantly wandering around, you know, not smart, but ultimately that falls on them. You know, they should have looked a little bit harder. You know, it took years. I don't know why they, I don't remember how long they waited to even say that the girl was missing, you know, but once they found out she was missing, they could have, you know, looked a little bit harder. But, I think they should win the money for it.
Yeah.
For the loss.
Yep, I agree. Well, all right, you guys, we're going to move on to a fun topic. Okay, so I'm not sure if you all know what Juul is. Jen, do you know what Juul is?
You said Juul?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. Like, not like jewelry?
Oh. No, not like jewelry. So I believe it's called Juul. Forgive me if I'm wrong, because that's the way I'm going to continue to pronounce it. Per Google, Juul Labs is an electronic cigarette company which spun off from Pax Labs in 2017. It makes the Juul e-cigarette, which was introduced by Pax Labs in 2015. Juul is a type of e-cigarette that uses nicotine salts that exist in leaf-based tobacco for its key ingredients. Now, the gag of this story, according to CNBC.com, Juul employees are to split a $2 billion holiday bonus from Altria. Altria is paying Juul employees a $2 billion bonus after Marlboro, the cigarette maker, made a 35% stake investment in the company. And the bonus averages out to $1.3 million per Juul employee. Reading from Hot New Hip Hop, in the latest move into its expansion from the realm of alternatives to traditional cigarettes, Altria, the maker of Marlboro, has injected a $12.8 billion investment into Juul, the popular e-cigarette company that just weeks ago was facing major setbacks that came from a result of stricter Food and Drug Administration regulations that was attempting to curb the alarming rate at which children and teenagers were using e-cigarettes. Juul was ordered to stop the sale of its flavored pods and had to put a halt on all social media campaigning in order to meet FDA demands. Now, Altria, which like I said, acquired a 35% stake in the company, and this is where this is all stemming from. Now, under the new deal, Altria would no longer be able to work with any other vape cigarette brand, nor will it be able to sell or transfer shares up to 6 years. Altria and Juul will be offering a $2 billion special dividend to its 1,500 employees, which is an average compensation of $1.3 million per employee. However, according to Gizmo.com, the Wall Street Journal reported Friday that that's not how it'll work. Instead, employees, they will receive $150 per every share or restricted stock until they own. On top of that, Juul is offering retention packages. Each employee will receive a special bonus equal to 4 times his or her usual bonus and pay it out in 4 installments over the next 2 years. This could entice some staffers to stay despite misgivings about the startup new alliance with a tobacco company, one employee said. The company's chief executive, Kevin Burns, said that in May, that Juul's mission was to eliminate cigarette smoking throughout the world one smoker at a time. After reports surfaced that Juul's discussions with Altria, Juul's employees reportedly characterized the stake as a deal with the devil and said it would defy the brand's stated mission. But that $2 million sellout money sure seems to be working its magic. Jen, are you looking for a job at Juul, or are you going to be looking for a job now there?
Yes, I'm ready. I'm already ready. I'm already like on my laptop right now, you know, trying to Google, you know, to go ahead and
that's
apply.
That's Juul with two U's.
That is awesome. Like, that is crazy.
Yes.
That, you know, giving every employee $2 million to stay there. I mean, I don't know what that means, actually.
Well, they're not giving them $2 million to stay there. They're getting $1.3 million about. It's not, you know, you can't really pinpoint exactly how much an individual will give, but $1.3 million per person. And on top of that, they're also getting retention bonuses, which is 3 to 4 times as much as they, much as their normal bonuses. So, you know, if your bonus is $1,000, now you're going to get a $4,000, $5,000 to stay with the company. You know what I'm saying? So that's just dope. That's dope.
I mean, I feel like you would be a fool to leave the company at that moment. I mean,
oh,
unless
hell
it's
yeah.
they're sharing the wealth. You know, a lot of times that doesn't trickle down to, you know, the employees, you know, even though they had, like, this massive deal. But I think that's really cool, and that says a lot about, you know, the CEO. But, yeah, I mean, so what were they saying specifically as far as, you know, the spike in teenagers using e-cigarettes? I mean, does it – has that been – were these the same teenagers that already were smoking cigarettes and are now using e-cigarettes?
I'm not sure about that because that wasn't specific here, but they're saying that it had been a spike in cigarette users, people who have been smoking cigarettes, and I mean teenagers who have been smoking cigarettes, and because of that, that's why Juul was facing, you know, closing their doors. They had been struggling, and then Marvel, they came through and they was like, look, I'm going to give you $13.4 billion. Here you go. Fix the shit that you need to fix. But these are the stipulations. You cannot, you know, open your shares to anybody else. You cannot do this. You cannot do that. And you know, from that 13 point whatever billion, then they offered their employees $2 billion of that money to split amongst all 1,500 employees within that company. So, yeah, I thought that was super, super cracking.
Yeah, like that's amazing. Wow. I mean, they about to have a hell of a Christmas show.
Yeah, but, you know, all of it is not coming right away to certain people. Certain people, like, yes, they said that some of the money would be available to them as soon as, you know, the 24th or the 23rd, I believe. So as soon as today, somebody just got a fat ass check in the mail like, yes, bitch, you know what I'm saying, or the bank deposit. But even though it's that amount of money, they won't get all of that money at one time either. That's the thing that sucks about it. They'll probably get, you know, they said $1.3 million over the next 2 years. So that's $500,000 bi yearly, which is crazy. It's amazing still. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and mention taxes too. So
$250,000 bi yearly.
Okay. And that's that's lit.
Yeah.
If he was a damn working as a, you know, janitorial, you know, shit.
Hell yeah. Yeah, lit as fuck.
Be the best maid on property, like, for real. You ain't got to tell people.
And it's
like,
a minority company too.
You said, oh, it's minority owned.
Yes, it is.
Wow. See, they better do that. They better do that.
Yep.
So I wish I could get one of this damn marijuana. I wish I could open up something and like and get all of that. Because it's like this, they're producing like instant billionaires, like this whole, you know, industry. So, yeah, but that's amazing. That is amazing.
Yes, it is. And that article just came out today. So I was like, oh, let's add this to the topic. All right, though. But, yeah, Juul, J with two U's, okay? Check them out. It's pretty fucking dope. All right, we're going to go ahead and move on to our final money-making topic of the evening.
Absolutely. Last topic, and this is according to Fader.com. Since its premiere yesterday, it's hard to ignore the plethora of looks throughout Cardi B's Money video. The Not Safe for Work But Worth It clip finds Cardi in everything from a custom Christian Cohen bodysuit made up entirely of gold watches to an avant-garde collared look from Gareth Poe. Shelby Christie, founder of the Girl with the Bamboo Earring podcast and self-professed fashion historian, took to Twitter to share a pretty comprehensive breakdown of some of the best fashion moments from the video, which pulled from current runways as well as iconic collections and moments from the 90s. There were definitely strong Thierry Mugler references throughout the visual, Christie told the Fader over email, noting the video's release happened to fall on the French designer's birthday. The scenes where she is surrounded by women in black suiting with collars, garters, and thigh-high stockings is very reminiscent of Thierry Mugler's 1999 Sex Couture Playboy shoot. Christie went on to explain that the custom Brandon Hearns magenta number Cardi dons in the video, video's second half also represents another suit in the bright shade from Mugler's Fall 1995 collection. I think a fair amount of creative research would have to go into this project, Christie added. There are layers, right? I think it's a masterful display of referencing and inspiration done correctly. It's been pretty well documented that Cardi's creative team, consisting of stylist Colin Carter, hairstylist Tokyo Styles, and makeup artist Erica LaPearl, very rarely miss, like ever. And the crew has all had a hand in creating some iconic fashion moments of their own. Director Jor Francis, who has frequently served as director, photographer, and creative director on many of Cardi's other projects, from her album cover Be Careful video and even her maternity shoot, helmed the clip. One of the most talked about looks is Laurel DeWitt's designed gold bikini and matching headpiece, with Cardi even taking to Instagram to share the photo that clearly inspired it. I think Cardi was showcased having done to align the genre with luxury fashion. Christie added about the rapper's predecessors, who she has never been shy about paying homage to. Foxy Brown, the face of Christian Dior, and appeared in Calvin Klein ads in the 90s. Lil' Kim and Missy Elliott consistently redefined the look and style of the female rapper. Were you able to watch the Money video, Miss Angel Vondrina?
Yes, I did watch the video, and I was like, girl, it's all women in this video. You better go ahead and show your women empowerment shit, okay? Oh, I see ass cheeks. I see black nipples. Okay, what's happening? Oh, but they making shmoney, though. That's me, you know, watching the video, you know, just watching and talking to my damn self. But, yeah, I mean, it was a good video. Cardi B is very talented. I thought that it was interesting that she put this video out. And, you know, many people, they were appealed to the video. You know, they really loved it just because of the fact that, you know, she really, really did not give a fuck about what anybody would say or anybody thoughts on the video. And as far as, like, you know, just there being, like, you know, a lot of promiscuous things in that sense, if that's what you want to call it, going on. But I thought it was dope. I thought she did a great job, and I'm super happy, you know, that she went ahead and followed exactly her ideal image or her ideal video of how she wanted this to be portrayed and sent out. Did you watch the video, Jen?
I did. I've actually watched it like 20 times. I think.
So, what did you like about the video?
Definitely, like, behind, you know, the creative vision and what was going on, because I'm not a big fashion person. Like, I like to say I'm fashionable and I like to, you know, dress, but as far as, like, you know, being like a historian, knowing the past, and being like, you know, this is from D&G, you know, 2002. Like, I can't tell you no shit like that. Like,
right.
But I thought the video was beautiful. Like, you know what I'm saying? And like you said, it to me, it definitely gave, like, women empowerment and, you know, and freedom and, you know, sexuality is okay. You know, that's what I took from it as well. Like, and, you know, ultimately her admitting, like, she's going to do what she has to do to make sure that, you know, her and her and her is well taken care of. You know, I remember recently watching a video, and she was like, you know, I'm going to shoot for $50 million next year. I'm trying to make $50 million next year. I think that is fucking amazing, you know, that a black woman in you know, in hip-hop to try and go for that amount of money, you know, when it's so many people mainstream that make that when they're on top of their careers and their pinks and they're at their peak and they're making, you know, $200 to $300 million a year. I think it's crazy that, I mean, I think that it's dope that, you know, she's like, okay, I'm going to do just as much as these people. And I thought the video itself is going to one day be, you know, like iconic. Like, I just think it was just very beautiful. And I cannot, you know, get over, you know, watching the video. Respect to Cardi B, like, real life. She just continues to grow and glow up and, you know.
I agree with you 100%. And let's try and see what we can do to continue to support, you know. And ultimately, keep watching those videos because Cardi is out here. She's making moves. Now, Jen, before we move on to the next, before we move on to our confession question of the day, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Cardi B taking Offset back and all of that. What was your thoughts on that whole situation?
What my thoughts on what?
The whole situation between Cardi B, you know, taking back her husband, her and him, Gineo, you know, they love life on, you know. What is your thoughts on that?
I mean, good for them. They're married, you know. I just really hope that he's serious this time. I think if he cheats again, it's going to make Cardi B look stupid. You know, more than likely he probably will. I hope that he doesn't, though. You know, and
why do you think he will?
I mean, it just seems like he just doesn't seem like the type that could let it go. And you know, he did work hard, you know, to get her back. But I feel like he could have worked a little bit harder. But you know, that's not my relationship. You know, maybe they need to reassess and, you know, and be honest and being like, okay, well, clearly you can't keep your dick in your pants. You know, let's have a conversation. You need to always wear protection, and you need to be okay with me doing what I do as well. You know, because clearly I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like if they want to continue to be with each other, and it needs to be something needs to be talked about, because there is a chance that he's cheated on her multiple times already, you know, that she's known about. So it's like either she's going to have to learn to deal with having an unfaithful husband, or they need to reassess everything. Maybe, you know, think about open relationships or polygamy or you know, whatever it may have you. She was, you know, because like, I think it needs to be fair. If he's going to cheat, she needs to be able to deal with niggas whenever she wants as well. You know, if she sees something, because I'm sure it's cream of the crop in her DMs, you know, and she ignoring it, you know, that cheating with, you know, Instagram models, you know, that's not there, you know, so.
Yeah.
But I hope everything works out for him. I really do. I really do hope he doesn't cheat, you know, and learning to, you know, discipline himself and, you know, find other avenues, you know, fly hoping that you're ready to have sex, and if you're that damn horny, you know what I'm saying, you got the money, you can fly back home, you know, fuck that, and you know, go ham and then go back to work. So,
exactly.
Yeah,
you're damn right.
I didn't took them back, but you know, I'm happy for them. I do think that they're in love. I don't know how in love they are, but I do think that they love each other, you know. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought that, like you said, they're married. You know, we go through things in our marriage sometimes here and there, but you know, if he, like you said, if he go ahead and he cheat on her again, it is going to make her look like a damn fool. And, you know, who knows what this is going to happen, because, you know, a woman scorn, nigga. You know, I don't want to see Cardi B getting arrested for killing a nigga, you know what I'm saying, because she's crazy. So, and love make you do crazy shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, love will make you, for real, sit up there and be like, bro, I should kill a nigga. Like, he's going to play me out for the last time. Like, You know, so I just hope that, you know, she never gets pushed to that place, and that, you know, ultimately she her and him may have a really good life, you know what I'm saying? Everything is good to go. Other than that, that's all, guys. You're going to go ahead and move on to our confession question of the day. And as a vision, he would like to go ahead and say something about it.
Confession question, what's the craziest thing you've ever done to attract a crush? And when's the last time you were flat out rejected? And how did you handle it? What do you think, Angel Vondrina? When's the last? What's the craziest thing you've ever done to attract a crush? What is crazy?
Okay, well, guys, we all know, like I say all the time, and me and my husband, we've been together forever. So anything I'm talking about is, like, extra elementary, okay? So the craziest thing I did to attract a crush was in middle school. So, like, the craziest thing I could think of for real was, like, in middle school. And it was this boy, and I had the biggest crush on him. And, like, to the point where, like, I used to chase him down the hall. Like, it was reckless, bro. I used to, like, run after him down the hall. I used to, like, try and grab him. And everybody, like, tell him, like, oh, Angel has a crush on you. Like, I used to just do the most, like, I don't know. Like, I made him sign, and this was in, like, seventh grade. I made him sign, like, this waiver, like, saying that we were married. Like, just dumb ass shit. And, like, he was, like, extra nervous, like, and I'm like, okay, well, we boyfriend or girlfriend or boyfriend or some shit like that. It's like, we boyfriend and girlfriend now. He's like, what? I'm like, you need to read what you find, like that. And so, but yeah, like, eventually it got to the point where, like, he started liking me. And then I didn't like his ass no more. Like, what kind of shit is that? Like, it's like, I did that shit all seventh grade year. Eighth grade year came back like a big boss. Like, bro, I don't even like you no more. I'm on to fucking ninth graders now. Like, bigger and better, older motherfuckers. Like, so yeah, that's what it was. And the last time I was flat out rejected is I was a bit older, obviously. I was in seventh grade. I had been talking to this guy, and we had been, like, seeing each other for a little bit on and off. So, look, I was, like, mid-teenage years, and he was a little bit older than me. Maybe if I was, like, 15, he probably was, like, I don't know, like, he was older. He was too old to be talking to me. You know, he was over 18, I think. I think he was over 18. So, and I actually did, like, you know, talk around with him. Like, we was, like, talking and texting and sending photos and probably sexting and doing shit that my black ass know I shouldn't have been doing. And if I ever have a daughter, I'm beating the hell out of her. But anyways, so, you know, one day I remember calling him. And I think, like, at this time, because he was older, he had, like, a baby mama and, like, he had, like, two kids and shit. And, like, he just, like, ignored my phone call. And then I called him again, and, like, he had, like, somebody else on the phone with him, and, I mean, on the phone in the background, and I'm like, what the fuck? So I just kept calling and calling and calling and calling and calling, and it was just so reckless, and I was just sitting there like, man, I can't believe this nigga ain't answering his phone. Like, what the fuck did I do? And then, like, after, like, you know, a 24-hour period, I got over it, but I felt like that's, like, literally one of the only times, because I used to do all the dumping. I used to, every guy, like, I went with, like, I pretty much broke up with them. And I was like, no, woo, woo, woo. So, like, that was, like, the very first time, like, that somebody was like, yeah, no. Like, and then after that, like, you know, he tried to still talk to me after the fact. Like, once I got even older, like, got with Sam, you know, my husband, like, he tried to reach out to me. Like, he still tries to be my Facebook friends and all of this stuff. I'm like, nigga, goodbye, you know, so. Yeah, that's the last time I was ever really flat out rejected, like, on some BS for no reason. And I was cute as a bitch too, so I don't know what the hell his problem is. I think it was maybe his baby mama. You know, I couldn't do nothing for his ass, so, you know, that's what it was. Jen, what about you?
And I feel like sometimes people just, like, you always internalize them when you do get rejected, but you have to realize, like, child number, you'll be, like, where that person be at in their life, and, you know, it's also, mm-hmm. you know, God telling you stay away from them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one mm-hmm. crazy thing I remember I was working at Macy's, and it was this guy, and he actually is, like, popular, like, on Instagram now, and, like, he's also in Macy's, and I think he was, like, so beautiful. Like, he was, like, he was definitely, like, either, like, close to 30, he looked a lot younger, but yeah, I found out he was like either close to 30 or like, because he's like definitely his mid-30s now, or like pushing 30. So okay. Maybe like how old I am now, but I was like maybe 19 at the time. But I remember like he would always come in, and every time he'd come to Macy's, I would like find a reason to like, whatever section he was at, I was such a creep, I would find a reason to like, it'd be doing something like next to like where the guy was at. And so like one day, up like buying like I don't know like a sweater or some shit like that, and so like while he's purchasing the sweater, my awkward ass was like, after he finished, I was like, can I give you my number? And he looked at me and I thought he was gonna cuss me out, and he was just like, yeah, and like,
oh, what?
Yeah, so I gave my number, nigga never called me, and then my stalker ass went and found him on Facebook and messaged him. Okay. And we would communicate every now and then, but, y'all, it was not going nowhere. So after a while, I just had to, like, let it go. But I was right, had such a crush on that boy. I cannot remember his name, but, yeah, it's her. But I think
can
he was
I,
so fine.
Can I give you my number?
He was about to cut me out. Like, because, you know, it's like you have, like, gay, though. So it's like I kind of felt he was gay. But then how he looked at me, it was just kind of like he was like, what? Like, and then he was like, yeah. Like, and I was like,
okay.
Well, I think, yeah, that's probably, like, the most psycho, you know.
Do you know what that reminds me of?
What?
That story reminds me of a time where I think I may have told you this story. So this was when I had a flip phone from U.S. Cellular, and I was 16, and me and Sam had just started dating. And, I was turning 17, and we just started dating because I was in high school. And it was just, oh, my God, it was this dude. He was so goddamn fine. And he would be, and now, like, I'm older, I was, girl, he was a bum. But anyways, he was so fine, like, to me at the time. Like, he had this little fro or whatever. He was all light-skinned because, you know, I was down with the light-skinned dudes back then. And so, like, we was on a bus, and I had decorated my flip cell phone with, like, all of these diamonds. And I would see him every single day on the ride home. And, like, you got to the point where I look forward to seeing him, you know what I'm saying? And so, like, I sat down one day. I sat down on the bus one day. Bro, looking forward, straight on the bus, okay? And, like, his stop was, like, a few stops away from my mom's house, because I stayed with my mom, obviously, at the time. And I was working at the time. I was, like, 16. I was working at this place where, like a place where you like put food on a conveyor belt and stuff like that. Like I was doing shit like that. And so it was like my second job I've ever had. So I was super dope, excited about it. Anyway, so I'm on a bus or whatever like that. And I see him one day and he's like looking at me and he's like, can I ask you a question? And bro, I thought he was going to ask my phone number. I flipped that motherfucking phone. I'm ready to give it to him. He was like, why you got all them diamonds on your phone like that? Oh, I was sloppy as hell. Then he was like, you thought I was going to ask you for your phone number, didn't you? Oh, I was so sloppy. I was like, no. And I was like, I got these diamonds on my phone because I want them. And then he was just like, oh, okay. And got off the bus. And do you know I never seen him again? I'm like, oh, okay. No,
I got excited for 0.2 seconds, Joe. Like,
yes, it was horrible. It was horrible. I so thought he was gonna be like, can I ask you a question? What's your number? Nah, why you get all them diamonds on your phone, huh? That was a shocker. I was looking like, the hell do you mean? Like, you know my number? Like, I'm not cute? Okay, all right, that's fine. So, yeah, that reminded me of that story there. Kind of, I mean, I got rejected in essence, you did. So, that was really funny. It just threw me back. Anyway,
about it now, it's like you probably, you know, it's like he might have had a girlfriend at the time or just like somebody he was really into, and you'd be like, what is it me? What's wrong with me? But now I'll be like,
right.
Motherfuckers just ain't thirsty and just ready to go, even if you are somebody that they would, you know, mess with. Someone want to deal with all that. So,
yeah.
But that's what memory lane, child.
Yes. Yes, y'all, memory lane. I'm talking to Jen like we ain't on the air right now. But anyways, guys, we're going to go ahead and get ready and end the show this evening if Jen has nothing to confess his love for.
I have a love confession.
Okay, well, go ahead and confess your love, honey bun.
Okay, so I want to confess my love for Whitney. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's like
It was like a documentary that was in the movie theaters, but I watched it on iTunes. Feel like it really went in depth as far as, you know, the reason why Whitney Houston was the way she was. Like, she had a hard life. You know, I didn't realize that, you know, she definitely was bisexual. She had a girlfriend the whole time. That Bobby Brown, she kind of got him more into doing drugs. That they were horrible parents. It was just, like, so much. You know, it's a really good documentary that I think you all should watch.
You say you've seen it on Netflix?
I got it on iTunes. It's not on Netflix. I'm on iTunes for like $5. So that's what I do now.
Okay.
So instead of going to Redbox, I just go in and read a movie on iTunes. So. Because they have the same shit.
Funny. Funny.
But it was so good. It was a really such a good movie, and I was just like, damn. Like, it, to me, it was like the ultimate cautionary tale. You know, how, like, you just by, like, not changing, you know, pushing somebody so much. And, you know, she could have, I mean, she did have an amazing life, you know, even being, like, high as hell. She was high as hell her entire life, y'all. She'd been using drugs since she was 16. But before she was 20, she was using drugs. You know, and to think that she made it as far as she did, you know, is incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, that is incredible. And for me, guys, I just want to say to you all, you know, have a very Merry Christmas and enjoy yourselves. Eat like pigs because January is right around the corner and it's time to lose some weight. Okay? So, yes. Other than that, guys, we're going to go ahead and get it together and end the show. Oh, if everything starts working, maybe we can end the show. It doesn't look like the show doesn't want to end for me. So, you know, guys, I think we're going to just continue to talk. So, Jen, what else was I'm just kidding. But yeah, seriously, I'm having... I feel like I'm having, like, technical difficulties. So, anyways, guys, make sure you check us out on Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, SoundCloud, and, of course, it's Podcast from Blog Talk. And, you'll check us out, you know, next Sunday, which is the 30th. And we love you all so much. And have a Merry Christmas. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. This is your host, Angel Vondrina.
And I'm your host, Jed Othello. And you are listening to the one and the only Confession Session. Good night, mate.
Good night, Jen Othello.